Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayemi, Menachos Daf Mem Beis. We begin seven lines from the top of Yom. Tanu Rabbanan. We begin with a brisa on the word tzitzis in the Torah. Tzitzis, what is that? How do we define the word tzitzis? Ain't tzitzis ela anav. The definition of tzitzis is a branch which branches off the trunk of the tree. Likewise, the strings of your tzitzis, the loose hanging strings, they come out, they hang off the solid part of the string which is connected up to the beged, which is like the trunk from which the loose hanging strings hang. So that's the definition of the word tzitzis. V'chein oimer, as we find in a pasuk in Yecheskel, where he was describing a vision, where he was grabbed, so to speak, by the hair coming out of his head, by kocheni betzitzis roshi, grabbed me by my hair, protruding from my head. The word tzitzis means something protruding. V'ra Abaye, says Abaye, therefore, one has to ensure that his strings are loose hanging, untangled. V'tzorach lefrudo, you have to separate them. Some learn this is specifically to separate them. The blue from the white. Others learn that it refers to all the strings, even nowadays when they're all white, meant to separate them. V'tzorach lefrudo, you meant to separate them, kitzusisa, like the hair, the hairdo coming, growing out of the goy's head, armoy on the goy's head. So they're meant to be separate and not tangled each other. In fact, I remember once seeing that the word tzitzis, which in the Torah is spelled tzadik yud tzadik tav, stands for tzadik, yafrid tzitzis of tam, it meant to have them separate, unentangled. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan, hitel ala keren, oy halagdil ksheira. So, let's say he made a tzitzis, instead of running them through a hole, which was off the corner, he actually tied them onto the corner itself. Ala keren, oy halagdil, or there's some other like threads at the end, which they would leave at the end of the weave. So it's also basically the edge, the actual edge itself. That's where he puts his strings, his scissor strings. It's okay. It also qualifies. Ksher, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov disagrees. Poisel b'shtein, both these are invalid. Why? We're going to see in a minute. Says the Mor, Kaman oz lahodam Rav Gidlam Rav. So I have a statement from Rav Gidlam Rav who says that the tzitzis strings are meant to be supported by the corner, meant to be hanging on the corner, over the corner itself. Tzitzis shricha shteinei tefes ala keren. It's meant to be hanging and sort of brushing over the corner itself, which means that they should be hung higher than the corner, right? And then they'll actually hang on the corner itself. Right? So that's the way it's supposed to be. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, Al kanfei bigdim, meant to be on the corners. So rather than having them tied to the actual corner, no, put them further in so that they hang on the corner. Come on. Whose opinion is this following? Well, that's clearly Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who just told us that unless it's further in, it's possible. Amar Yaakov Rabbi Yochanan, v'tzorach sheyarchik m'lei kesher gudol. How far in are you meant to hang the tzitzis? How far in should the hole be? So Rashi learns m'lei kesher gudol is the distance between the tip of the thumb until the first joint of the thumb. So that much. It's about an inch or so, okay? That's how far in it should be from the actual edge. Now, if we recall, Rav Papa yesterday told us that the strings are meant to be within three etzbois, three finger widths to the corner. So we seem to have two separate sort of shiurim. Is it this or is it that? They're both right. One is a minimum. One is a maximum, right? One tells us, look, it's got to be at least that much from the edge, closer is no good, and the other one says, well, it can't be further than three etzbayis. That's already off the corner. It's already in the beged itself, in the body of the beged, rather than at the corner. So both are teaching us a different facet of this type of shiur, of this location. Yisuch to Rapapa, Yisuch to Rabbi Yaakov. Both are needed. Rapapa's halacha, three etzbayis, and Rabbi Yaakov's halacha regarding the thumb. The imid Rapapa, if only from Rapapa, Havamina would say, Toch Shalosh. Okay. Ensure that it's within three etzbayis. Diloy l'rachik tfei. Okay, not further in. Because then you go into the body of the beged, you know, territory. But perhaps the closer you get to the edge, the better. Right? Become the Makar of Mali. Perhaps closer to the edge is better. Oh! It's just Rabbi Yaakov. It comes to Rabbi Yaakov and says, no. At the edge, but not on the edge. It has to be offset by at least an inch or so. And then it sort of hangs on the edge. On the other end, we made Rabbi Yaakov. If only Rabbi Yaakov's Shir Ahavamina would say, well, Mleikesh Agudol, ensure that it's at least an inch off the corner, the little karef tfei, but not closer than that. But in terms of how far into the beged, how far away from the edge, perhaps the more the better. Vekama derochik mali, the further the better. Tricha, that's what we need. Rapapa says no. Stop at three etzboy. So it's between Malay Kesher Gudol, which is about an inch, and the Shalosh etzboy is a Rapapa. That's where you place your tzitzis. So not too close, right? And not too far. Continues the Gemara. Ravina Rav Sama Habu Yasa Kamed Rav Ashi. So this is going to relate to the halacha. We have a story about it. Ravina Rav Sama was sitting in front of Rav Ashi. Chazi Rav Sama Lekarnei the Glimid Ravina. So Rav Sama noticed that the corner of Ravina's beged was a bit, it was basically torn. The tzitzis that had been hung near the beged, the hole sort of got enlarged, got torn, and the tzitzis were now closer to the edge than they should be, less than an inch, approximately an inch, right? So Chazi Rav Sama noticed that Ravina's tzitzis tore, and the strings were now closer to the corner than in Loi Kesher Gudol. The current the gleam of the Ravina, the saucer. So the there was a tear that developed. Ubatsar Mloi Kesher Gudol, which diminished that distance. It's now less than a Kesher Gudol between the strings and the edge. Or Mloi Kesher Sama turns to Ravina. What happened to the Alacha? It's too close. Like Sava Lomar. Lod Rabbi Yaakov, what about Rabbi Yaakov's halacha? Quoted Rabbi Yechanan. Can't be that close. Amar Lei. So he says, of course I agree with the halacha. Of course I know about the halacha. B'shas asiya itmar, the halacha that you're talking about is when you make the tzitzis. The Bush explains because the pasuk says, v'oslam tzitzis hakafe b'gdeyim. When you make it, it should be hakafe near the edge. Right? And it was. When I made it, it was. Then it tore. It got close and it got pulled close. That's okay. Ichsef, Rav Sama got sort of embarrassed that he didn't know this halacha. He didn't have this, clarity. Amalei Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi came to the rescue. He says, don't worry. Don't let it bother you. L'tiskefloch. Don't be stressed about it. You know, he lives in Eretz Yisrael. He absorbs the avir of Eretz Yisrael, which endows one with special wisdom, right? Avir of Eretz Yisrael is machkim. Chad minai, one of them, ketrei minhan, is as good as two of us. Okay, it's the double smart than us. So, don't take it personally. Okay, now we'll see a couple of opinions regarding the number of strings in its tzitzis. So of course we do it the way we do it. We have four strings, right, which are inserted and doubled. So get you four on one side, four on the other. Looks like eight, but it's really four that are sort of folded. That's going to be the last opinion. The first we have Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. He holds that really you need eight. We were based on the pasuk gedilim, right? Because gedil means a double braid. Minimum is two. And gedilim is double that, so it's four. They learned that actually it's eight. Because it says gedilim ta'asa. So you meant to have gedilim, which is four, and ta'asa doubles it. So we have two amoraim who used eight strings, but in different ways. One would take four and fold them before putting them into the hole. So he ends up having an eight on each side. Whereas the other shita, actually took eight strings outright and put them into the hole. Rav Acha bar Yaakov brami arba, he would take four strings. Voyef lumeyef, he would fold them into two. So now you have eight. And that's how he would insert it into the hole. Ma'ayelu b'glima. So let's picture it. He had four strings, folded, put into the bag, so now you have eight, right? And then he would take the four, he would take the package of eight, okay? Right, so he had eight, put it into the corner, the hole, I mean. Now he has eight on each side. One side is just had just been inserted, short. The other one's long, hanging down. He'd take the long portion and sort of loop it into the short portion, and that's how it would hang from the baguette. So actually, in total, it would just be eight hanging down, right? It would be eight hanging down, eight going through. But he would sort of loop it so that it would, that's how it would be affixed to the baguette. Umaylu beglimo, put the doubled bunch into the baguette, so he has eight going through. Vabaglumevich, he would loop it, and then it would let hanging down as, as eight. Sorry, as eight. You would have eight hanging down, right? Because he held Ba'inon Tamanya Baglima. He meant to insert eight into the Begat Keichat Lahabi. Gedil Gedilim. Which is a fulfillment of the Pasuk Gedil Gedilim, as we explained, Malkam Psil, where it's inserted. And where it's going to be affixed to the Begat. Okay, so he took four and sort of turned them into eight by doubling them. And then taking that folded side, pushed it into the baguette, so he has now eight on either side. Then he would loop the eight of this side into the other eight, loop it, and now you'd have eight hanging down. Okay, that was his way of doing it. Rav Yirmiya Medifti Rami Tamanya. He took a very direct approach. He would take eight strings to begin with. That's it. Eight strings, push it through, double it over, which ended up giving you 16. Dinu Shitzer. He didn't loop them. It was eight going through, coming all the way down the other side, so you have 16 string ends hanging down. Marber de Ravina obviously done. He had a different approach, as we do. Take eight strings, push it in, which ends up coming down the other side for a total of eight. So four, which doubles into eight. Gedil, gedilim, which is really four, but then it doubles because it's put through the baguette. That's the way we do it. Okay, Rav Nachman Ashkeche, he found Rav Ado Bar Abba. What was he doing? Installing his tzitzis, Rami Chuti. And he made a bracha. As he was doing so, become a varech, he said a bracha, Vasher Kedeshanu, Tzvayis Vitzvanu, Lasa his tzitzis, even before he was ready to wear anything, while he was hanging his strings in his bag, and he made a bracha amalei. So Rav Nachman asked him, "My tzitzi, what's the tzitzi that I'm hearing, Shemana? Well, what's going on?" Hachem Arav, Rav taught us that you don't make a bracha when you're tying your strings to the baguette. It's not time for a bracha yet. Tzitzis ain't shricha bracha. So according to Rav Nachman's version, Rav was of the opinion you do not make a bracha when you install the strings itself. Kinoch nafshi de Rav Huna. Now, when Rav Huna passed away, Al Rav Chizda Lemir Madarava Darab. So Rav Chizda went to Beis Medrash. He had some difficulty, contradiction within Rav himself. Umiyama Rav, is that so that Rav held? No bracha when you make your tzitzis? Tzitzis ain tzricha bracha ba'amar Rav. Rudim Rav. Rudim Rav tells us, Menai le tzitzis vev yichavim shipsula. So it would seem that there's no reason to make a bracha while you're putting on the tzitzis because it's not. It's not yet, the moment of, right? But we have halacha in the name of Rav, that a guy cannot make your tzitzis. Menayin letzitzis, bug yecham sheep. So how do we know that tzitzis that a guy made is possible? Shnama the pasuk says daru bnei Yisrael. Only bnei Yisrael vaslam tzitzis. Only they can make tzitzis. Bnei Yisrael yasu. Only a yid can make tzitzis. Vlevit yecham yasu. A guy can't make tzitzis. That's a contradiction. Now what's the contradiction? Vayma rumya. What do you mean to ask? We have one rav, no bracha. One rav, only yid can do it. What's the problem? Rav Yosef, let me explain to you what the problem is. Because Sabar of Chizr Chizda, who asked this question, was bothered as follows. He says, these two things should be related. Kol mitzvah shekshera by v'kechavim, a mitzvah that can be performed even by a guy, can be prepared by a guy, then I understand b'Yisrael in tzorach l'varach. If a yid chooses to make it, there's no point in making a bracha because, as Rashi explains, you can't say Asher Kedushanu Mitzvah Tzivanu if a guy can do it. So it's not unique to a yid, so there's no brach. But something like making tzitzis, which Rav himself teaches, can only be performed by a yid, so there he should be making a brach Asher Kedushanu Mitzvah Tzivanu while saying tzitzis. And here Rav says you don't make a brach when you make your tzitzis. That was the thinking behind this question. So that was the contradiction. Okay, again, here Rav says that only a yid can make tzitzis. Bnei Yisrael, lamar te'aleim, oslam tzitzis, which would indicate that it's time for a bracha, a shokar chanu, to make tzitzis. And then Rav himself says you don't make a bracha for making tzitzis. Now, the Gemara will now sort of challenge this correlation. And you're making a connection, a linkage between the one who's making it and whether or not, whether or not you need a bracha depends on who's going to make it. Uklalu, is that a general rule? Done by a yid, make a bracha. Done by a guy, don't make a bracha. Vale mila d'ksher v'et kichav. Bris mila, even a guy can do. The Sani is Wellington of Bryce. Yisrael, you're living in a town where there's no Yiddish mail, right? Reife here means a mail. Second best, you have a choice. You have a guy who can do the Mila, you have a Kusi who had their own sort of religion. Turns out that they were really every the Zara. Okay, they had their image of a statue of a dove on top of Hagrizim, which they would worship. So which way do we go? Who's going to do the Mila? A guy or a kusi? Says the Braisa, believe it or not, Yomal Armoy. Choose the guy. He'll do it as a professional. He won't have any ulterior motives. That's better than a kusi. Has his own agenda. We'll have a desire in mind. That's worse. Val Yomal Kusi. Rabbi Daimer, the other way around. Kusi, have the kusi do it, because he won't endanger the baby. Well, Armoy, as opposed to a guy, who's suspected of Shvichas Dam, he might endanger the child. So clearly, a guy is qualified to do a bris, right? So if it's something that a guy can do, you would assume that even when a yid does it, there's no bracha, because it's an act that even a guy could do. But we know that when a yid does the mila, he certainly makes a bracha. Ubi Yisrael Tzorach Levarach Darmah, we learned, Hamal, the one that makes the mila, what does he say? Baruch atah, shakachon, right? So it's an ala mila. Apparently, this correlation is not doesn't really hold up. Says the Gemara, actually, it will hold up, because let's remember, we're going like Rav. This linkage relates to Rav. Now, Rav himself actually holds that only a yid can make a bris mila. So it makes sense that you make a bracha shakachon when you make the mila. Well, this whole klal, this formula, this correlation, was based on Rav, right? Rav Mipsal Posel. This whole point was regarding Rav. Rav himself actually holds that a guy who does Mila is Posel. The Itzma, as we learned. How do we know that if a guy does Mila, it's Posel? Dorabar Papa, Mishmei the Rav, he quotes Rav. Va'atas brisis hishmar. Avraham Avinu was instructed by Hashem, you do the bris. Not a good. Rabbi Yechon Amar, another source, himol yimol. So that double lashon himol yimol teaches us only one who relates personally to the bris milah, a yid, he can do a milah on others. Hamol, one who has milah on himself, yamol, can do others, as opposed to a guy. Okay, so basically, we've just salvaged that formula, right? Which was that if it's an act that is exclusive to a yid, then you make a bracha. Otherwise, you don't make a bracha. So that brings us back to the question. If the act of making tzitzis is exclusive to a yid, he should be making a bracha, shagid chano, lasis tzitzis. And Rav himself says, you don't make a bracha. How does that work? Gemara continues discussing this formula again. So actually, sukkah masayele, tefillin have to yufte. This rule that Rav Yosef presented in explaining Rav Chisa's kasha and Rav can be supported from the aloha of sukkah, but challenged from tefillin as follows. Look, hari sukkah. Let's take a look at a sukkah. The ksheru et kichom. Even a guy can make a sukkah, as long as it was done for the sake of, you know, shelter, right? The sanyas are lent in a brisa. Sukkah's evit kechavim, a sukkah that a guy made, a hut that he made, you know, to live in there, to protect himself from the elements. Sukkah's nashim, a hut made, you know, for women to sit there in private. Sukkah's behema, for the animals. Sukkah's kusim, sukkah mekal makim, any sort of temporary hut meant for, you know, dwelling and protection. Ksheira can be used for mitzvah sukkah, but vashtei mesuchachas kilchasa, provided that it was meant for shading, for protection. So clearly, a sukkah manufactured by a guy works. Would be Yisrael in Torah Levarach. And in fact, this works very well with the halacha that a yid doesn't make a bracha. Even if he himself constructs a sukkah, he doesn't make the bracha as he's making the sukkah. The sani is within a braisa. Or it's a sukkah la'atzma. A person builds his sukkah, Omer, he'll make a shechayano for the excitement of the moment, but not a mitzvah las a sukkah. Omer, he says, we don't do it, we make shechayano when we actually go to eat in the sukkah, but according to this braisa, the shechayano is meant to be said when you build a sukkah. But that's it. You don't make a ashagachanu lasay sukkah. That fits very well with the fact that even a guy can make it. Bolei shabo, when he's about to finally go sit inside and eat on sukkah, so Aymer, he says, Baruch at Hashem lakenu melchayim, ashagachanu seizvan leishav sukkah. Okay, so these two brachas. But you never make lasay sukkah upon building the sukkah. Vilu lasay sukkah lo yimavar, you don't make that. That fits with Rabbi Yosef's rule, Rav Chisa's rule. But on the other hand, tefillin to yufte. If we take a look at tefillin, that's a challenge to this rule. Vary tefillin, the psul is what we become, because tefillin cannot be manufactured by a guy. Period. So you would think that if a yid sits down and makes tefillin, he should make a bracha, las his tefillin. Okay, the tani we learned in a brais. The tani of chinna brei de rava. He taught us a halacha, miparshranya, that was his location, he came from that place. He says, sefer Torah, tefillin and mezuzos, right? All these items. Shekasvan stuki, kusi, avgichavim, eved, isha, vakatan, mumar, atstuki, who rejected the oral law, kusi, a goy, eved, isha, a minor, a mumar, one who rejects the Torah way of life. They made tefillin, or say the Torah, mezuzah, right? If they wrote any of these items, psulin, you can't use them. Shenemar, the pasuk says, ukshartam, uchsavtam. And we learn, one who relates to the mitzvah, one who is obligated, who performs, who conforms, who believes in kshira, he can write. You got to be in it. One who relates to the tying of the tefillin, to the laying of the tefillin, one who is obligated, he can write these things. One who doesn't relate to the mitzvahs, he can't write. So it's only something that a Yisrael can write. Nevertheless, Bisrael ain't tzorach levarach. Ain't tzorach levarach? Still, we don't find anywhere, right? You make a bracha. Even if Yisrael sits down to make the tefillin, he will not make a bracha. The Shalach Rav Chiya Breider of Huna, he taught us the Halacha Meshmeder of Yechanan. You only make a bracha when you wear the tefillin, not when you manufacture them. Al tefillin shalyad, what do you make on tefillin shalyad? Ayo bracha asher, kitchon says on tefillin on the yacht tefillin. On tefillin, al tefillin shalresh, what do you make? Ayo bracha asher, Hashem kitchon says tefillin al mitzvah tefillin. That's when you lay the tefillin. But when you make the tefillin, you don't make any bracha. You lost his tefillin, let me vote. You don't make lost his tefillin. So basically, this rule is now being challenged. Here we say that even a preparatory act, making a tefillin, making a sukkah, you know, all these, making your tzitzis, we spoke about milah also, things which a guy can also do, then even a yid would not make a bracha upon doing these activities, but otherwise he would. And here we find, by tefillin we find, there's no bracha upon making the tefillin regardless. El lavai nitaim. See, you must say that the reason is otherwise. Why do we find that sometimes we make the bracha, sometimes we don't? The answer is like this. Very simple. Kol mitzvah da'asi yosa gemar mitzvah. An act of mitzvah, which with the act itself that you're doing is the completion. Like where? Like milah, right? The ma'asa milah is the essence of the mitzvah. You're going milah. There you make a bracha. Irrespective of whether a guy could or cannot do it. Even though theoretically a guy can do it. But if a Yisrael does the meal, he makes a bracha. Yisrael tzarech levarach. On the other hand, if it's not a complete, it's not a completion of the mitzvah, it's just a preparatory phase, like making the sukkah, making the tzitzis. V'chol mitzvah da'asiyasa, lav bar mitzvah. On the other hand, when you're doing an act which is not the completion, it's only a preparation, kigayin, like making the tefillin, there, it goes all the way around. Even though it's not valid when a guy does it, it still does not generate a bracha. Even if a yid chooses to make it, he doesn't make a bracha. Because it's not the completion, it's only preparatory. Okay, now regarding tzitzis, we had that whole machlekes, right? Because of Nachman. Said you don't make a bracha. In fact, you heard him making the bracha. He says, oh, titi, titi, what's going on? I don't make a bracha when you. In the name of Rav. Rav Chizah says, no, you should make a bracha. Right? What's the machlekes? It links back to this rule. Is the act of making the tzitzit, putting on the tzitzit, is that a completion or is that preparatory? And this really connects back to the old machlekes we had the other day. What is the essence of mitzvah tzitzis? Is it garment related? So then when you're putting it on, you're fulfilling the mitzvah? Or is it personal? When you wear the begad, you have tzitzis. It's a personal mitzvah. In which case, applying the strings to the begad in itself is not the completion of the mitzvah. It's just preparing it, enabling the mitzvah. So it doesn't earn a bracha. Okay, so that's going to be the machlekes. Ube tzitzis b'okem mitzvah, by tzitzis, machlekes as follows. Mar Savar Chavis Talus. Rav Chizah says it's garment related, so when you put it on, you should be making a bracha. Mar Savar Chavis Gavru. Rav Nachman held it's a personal obligation. So there's no bracha when you apply the strings until you actually put on the beged. Amar Rav Mordechai Rav Ashi. Atun Hochi Masnisulo. Let's go back to the trigger point of this whole kasha, this whole conversation. Because we found that on the one hand, Rav says, you don't make a bracha upon installing the tzitzis. And then we find Rav who says that a guy can't do it, and that sort of triggered that whole... You had that version, but we had a different version altogether. Anan hachi masninlo, we had a different version. That actually allows a guy to put on the put the strings on, in which case the whole kasha falls away. Amar vidam Rav, menayin letzitzis, but vicham shekshe, how do we know that if a guy attaches the tzitzis, it's okay shenemar. Just the other way around. Davni Yisrael v'aslam tzitzis. Tell the Yisrael v'asolahem, they should make for you. have it done by others. Even a guy can make it for you. Yaslam Achir. So even a guy can make it for the sake of the Yid. That certainly preempts the whole question. Now we certainly understand why. Even when a Yid puts it on, there's no bracha, because it's something that a guy can do as well. There's no Shekhar Chan on it. Interesting discussion. Okay, before we continue, so we had the location of the tzitzis, not on the corner, near the corner, not too far in, not too close to the corner, but in terms of closeness to the corner, it's only when you're making it, but if it tears and gets closer, it's okay. We learned about the amount of strings, the number of strings, 4, 8, and interesting discussion regarding brachas on mitzvah. Turns out that at least regarding tefillin and sukkah, bracha only happens later. By milah happens as you're doing it, and by tzitzis, it was machlekes, which really connects to chayvas gavra or chayvas talis. Omer b'dem Rav, asan min ha-koytzen. So, certainly you have to tie the strings on for the sake of tzitzis. But let's say you have a piece of cloth, a rough piece of cloth, which already has loose strings hanging from it, left over from the weaving process or from the sewing process. That's not going to work for tzitzis, because it wasn't put on for the sake of mitzvah tzitzis. Right? V'oslam tzitzis, you got to put it on for tzitzis. Omer b'dem Rav, ason min ha-koytzim. So he fashioned his tzitzis from the koytzim. Koytzim means like a thorn. Basically these threads, which are just sticking out of the baguette, happen to be there and sticking out of the material. Umin amnimen. Well, you have, again, it's another form of, remnants. So you have like the threads that were left, after sewing the baguette. Umin agardim. Leftover threads from the weep. Psula, you can't do that. You can't use it for tzitzit. Umin asisin kshera. But if you use strings from a ball of strings, so although the string was not made l'shem tzitzis, just a plain piece of string, but if you're putting it onto the bag l'shem tzitzis, that works. You don't have to actually manufacture the string for the sake of tzitzis. Tzviya, right? The spinning doesn't have to be. Kamrizikam in the Shmuel says Rav Yehuda. This was Rav. When I presented this to Shmuel, he disagreed. Amar, he says, Af min asisim psul, even if you take string off a roll and put it on, it doesn't work. Why? But in a tefillah lishma, you have to actually make the strings, spin them for the sake of tzitzis. Ketanoi, actually, this connects to a different machlokes tanoi, which discusses a tefillin. The same type of question: does the leather used to make the box of the tefillin, right? So it's also something serving a mitzvah. Does it have to be manufactured l'shem lishma or not? We could just take a plain piece of hide. Tzipon zov. If you cover the parshias, you made a golden box. A shetala, right? It has to be made of leather or something which is kosher leather, also, right? From a kosher animal, right? But she says because of the straps we learned the other day has to be made of leather. Certainly the box itself, and it has to be kosher animal because. Pasuk says, "Lamantia teres Hashem beficha." It has to be something which you can beficha, you can eat, something which is kosher. It could be a dead animal, but it has to be a kosher variety. Okay. In any case, if you made these interesting boxes, or he wrapped the parshas with the skin of a non-kosher animal, so it doesn't work. But you use hide from a kosher animal, it works. Even though he took it off the officially ibn l'shma, he took it from his. Off the pile, and it was not ibdan, it wasn't processed in tan, and l'shem the tefillin. So this corresponds to the shita of Rav, that even regular strings can be used for tzitzis as well. It doesn't have to be manufactured for the sake of mitzvah. But Rav Shimon Ben Gamliel disagrees. Omer, he says, af oyer b'matoyer psulis. Even if you take kosher skin, if it wasn't processed for the sake of tefillin, it doesn't work. Psulis achi abdon lishmon. Has been lishmon. Likewise by the strings of the tzitzis. Amar lei abayler of Shmuel bar Yehuda. Okay, so we know that tchelis would be used for the tzitzis. How was it done? Hat chelta, hechat abisla. How do you dye the tchelas of the tzitzis? Normally, he says like this: my sin and dam chilasim. We get our hands on the blood, dye from the chilasim, whatever it is, creature, fish, snail, whatever. But with samanin, we mix it with samanin, some sort of agent, which facilitates the dyeing process. Tosfos says, how do you mix in other elements and that pure dye? The Parshim explained that what Rashi meant was that like the Yehuda explains, he says, you can't do it otherwise. So inevitably, that's what the Torah meant. Pure dye, but you mix some sort of agent with it. It's a sort of some sort of emulsifier, some sort of agent which makes it happen, which allows it to get absorbed into the material properly. Okay, so we start with that. We take these ingredients and we throw it into a pot. We cook it up. And then we test it to see if it's ready for dyeing. So we take a little bit of the dye, put it into a little sampler, a little egg, eggshell. And then we test it on a piece of cotton to see if it, if it catches. And then when we're done this test, hopefully successfully, right? We will not pour back in the leftover dye from the eggshell, because that was had been used already for dyeing the sample. We discard of it. We burn the ball. Okay, this wool ball, we burn it. We don't want it to get mixed into the tzitzis supply. Says Moshe Shmamin Atlas, we have learned three things from this presentation, three halachic anecdotes. First of all, Shema Mino Tima Psula. We learned that the material that was used for the testing cannot be used for tzitzis, because it wasn't lishma, right? Number two, we learned. We also learned that you have to dye l'shem tzitzis, which is really one and the same as the previous item. We'll see in a minute. Also, we learned from the fact that they had to discard the extra dye. I can just pour it back in. That once it had been used for sampling, it can't be used for tchelas. So, item one and two are really one and the same. Haino tima psula, and it's v'lishma. The reason why the tima is puzzle, the sample is puzzle, because it needs to be lishma. So why are you itemizing it as two separate things? Amar Rav Ashi, you're right, it's all one and the same. Matam kam, he's just explaining himself. These three are really two points. Matam tima psula, why is that sampler puzzle? Mishan b'inan tzvi lishma, because you have to die at lishma, which this, in this case, was not. It was just to test the ketanoi. Now let's focus on the third halacha. They got rid of the extra paint that was left in the eggshell, the sampler, because they had taken some of it for sampling. What's the problem? That disqualifies the remnant, Actually, it's machlis tana ketanoi, tama pasla. Once he samples, so he takes from the paint supply and he samples from it, the whole thing becomes disqualified. It's already used paint. It's supposed to be pure, perfect, unused for other purposes. Even secondary coloring is okay. Even if it was used for, you sampled from it to sample to test, the leftover is okay. Seconds, leftover is also fine. So point to him, there's no need to pour out whatever's left in that eggshell. Okay, we'll pick it up tomorrow. Meantime, all the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.